Now, I had talked to you last week about a particular message that I was excited about. And as a matter of fact, I had put the message together. And lo and behold, it just lifted right off me. I'm not saying God, it was wrong. I'm not saying God doesn't want me to give it, but I'm not supposed to give it this morning, okay? Just the way it is. God wouldn't let me do it. I felt a check in my spirit. So I didn't panic. How many know that, God has given his victory through the blood of Jesus? And sometimes that takes an act of faith to move forward in life and believe that we have really been given the victory. I just want you to know God has such profound things planned for us as his people. And it involves the ministry of reconciliation. And, that's our calling. That's our purpose as a church. So I want you... We're going to turn to Psalm 19:14, and I'm going to talk a little bit today about God and the new heart that God gave us. And I have a lot of teaching in this area, but I'll just go into one aspect of it because there's so much that I have. I just want to talk about a few different kinds of heart that God gave us. First of all, a heart alive unto God. Now, I'm not going to get into scripture right now regarding that, but when you became a new creature in Christ and a new man in Christ, you have a new heart. So it's alive. I mean, that was the first thing that I noticed as a new Christian, that I was alive unto God. And there was a tremendous excitement regarding the reality of my redemption, okay, in my relationship with God. It was so profound, so evident that at one point I was dead, I didn't know God, and at the next point I was alive in a relationship with God. That's all I knew, and I was very excited about it. So a restored relationship. I think that was obviously the biggest thing that happens to a person when they are truly redeemed. Now, if a person's just trying to live a religious life out of tradition, there is no restored relationship. And then a desire to know God. I mean, that was a big deal. Why was that desire there after I was redeemed? Obviously, it was God's highest will and purpose for us to know him. Okay. And we didn't have to put that on. We didn't have to try and make that happen. That was just something that was coming deep within our heart, that we really wanted to know Jesus. We really wanted to know who God was through Jesus Christ. A sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Isn't it wonderful that he gave us his Holy Spirit? He told us, it's better for you that I go away, because if I don't go, I can't send the Comforter. And that's, the Comforter is who God gave us to relate to him and to give us the reality of who he is, the truth about who he is. And so we end up realizing the importance of loving the truth. You know, this isn't some kind of a philosophy or idea that we come up with on our own. Okay, there is the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. And so, you know, religion gives us all different kinds of truth, or what they call truth. But Jesus is the truth, a love for the truth. And then I just want to mention a heart that has the assurance of knowing God. And when I say the assurance of knowing God, what I mean by that is we have an inner witness from the Spirit of truth, from the Holy Spirit, okay, that God is real. And it just, he's the greatest reality that we have in Christ. That whole thing comes under tremendous attack. You know, even like Job said when he was going through such tremendous trials and tribulations, he said, though he slay me, I will trust him. There was something much deeper in Job's heart than the trouble and the circumstance and the threats that he was going through. He loved the Lord unto the death because he knew God was true and everything else was a lie. Okay. We have that witness in us, that inner witness. And then a sacred heart. Okay, that's not a Catholic term. That's a, but a sacred heart, a heart dedicated to God as his dwelling place. Now, I'm speaking God's ideal here, okay? But our heart should be reserved for God and God alone. It should be a place of sacredness and holiness in our relationship with God. I don't think that we should ever take that, not take it serious. And then, of course, we must grow in a heart of love, our love for God, okay. It as the deepest and most profound treasure. Now, I realize I'm talking about maturity here and the ideal, but how are you gonna understand something if it's not defined to you? A searchable heart. Say a searchable heart. You know, David said, search my heart, whether there be any wicked way in me. And we need to have such a humility as to expect the Holy Spirit to search our heart. Okay. And I know many times, and when I'm talking about the heart, and partly I'm talking about the soul and spirit. The heart, the spirit's perfect. The heart is where we must line up with the truth of our new man. A searchable heart. Lord, I want you to search me. I'm not trying to hide from you anything that's going on in my heart. If there's something there, Lord, that is displeasing to you, then, Lord, I'm asking you to convict me of it. You know what? I'm really grateful that God cares enough to chastise us as his children. Okay, to me, that's an important issue, that I'm not just left to myself or on my own, but he deals with our heart when he needs to deal with our heart. Okay, we've given God the preeminence. We've given him the ownership. We've allowed him to have our heart and to mature our heart. And so he'll deal with people. you know, about things that he'll deal with you where you're at, what he, the way he wants to deal with you. Okay. And that's not going to be the same with everybody about everything, but I invite the Holy Spirit to change me from glory to glory. So then a transformational heart. He's changing us, okay? The Bible says from glory to glory. Our heart will be transformational in God's purpose. And, you know, obviously when we see him, we will be as he is. And then a trusting heart. Sometimes that's a tough one when the bottom drops out of your life, or it appears to drop out of your life. And we thought that we trusted God until we found out that we were fearful about giving our whole heart and our whole life over to God and trusting him that he holds it in the palm of our hand and he knows the outcome. And then a broken heart. We'll talk about that sometime, the broken heart. You know, that's the kind of heart God seeks, is a broken and a contrite heart. And then a teachable heart. And then a guarded heart. A guarded heart. So that those are just some of the things that we need to understand. And of course, when I wrote this sheet out, I put scriptures under every one of these points. And these aren't all the same points. But the issue is we have a new heart, number one. That's a reality of redemption. He's given us, we are a new creature in Christ. We do not have to struggle any longer to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in us, because he's already changed us and he gives us grace to conform to that. Okay. I don't know about you, but I guess for me it comes down to wanting to please God. And I want my heart to be right and true with God. Okay. And so I did another one, another message on the pure heart. Okay. This one is more, a little bit more about the affections of the heart. And so above all, it says, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of the innermost being. Okay. So we know that redemption restores true worship by giving us a new heart, alive with the true reality of the Father and his love. Now, the Bible is clear. One of my favorite scriptures is in 1 John, I think it's 1:3. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. That's a powerful scripture. It shows us the heart of the Father and the Son, that we're to be in a fellowship by the Holy Spirit with the Father and the Son. We are given true grace to worship God by the love of the Holy Spirit shed abroad in our hearts. Okay, by the Holy Spirit. We're given true grace. Say grace. See, you ain't going to make it without grace. You aren't going to relate to God without the grace of God. You aren't going to relate to God on your own. Okay. You can maybe relate to him in a legal way, but you will never on your own relate to him in a loving way. And that's what redemption is all about. It was a restored love relationship with the Father and his Son. That's the reality of redemption. All right, a restored relationship. You know, and a lot of people have a legal, religious relationship. And I'm not attacking people. I'm just saying that they think that through their self-righteousness and through their own efforts that is going to give them a relationship with God. They're, you know, that they'll end up in eternity with God when it doesn't work that way. Okay, I emphasize it over and over. There are only two kinds of righteousness, his and yours. Okay, and God, his opinion on righteousness is that self-righteousness is as filthy rags. Okay. So I am grateful for God's righteousness. I don't have to make myself holy. I'm already growing in the reality of his holiness that is all there and ready to be manifest in my life. Okay. You know, holiness isn't some kind of a monk going off somewhere in isolation. It's the reality of redemption. It's the spirit of Christ in a man, in a woman. Okay. So true worship, we give our whole heart. Okay, that's what we need to start expressing to the Father, to the Son, through the Holy Spirit. We give our whole heart. We give all that is within us. We bless his holy name. And soul and body follow as we worship in truth with a true heart. Everybody say a true heart. Anybody can put on some kind of phony facade and think that what they're doing that God will accept. Okay. True worship involves offering God first with our existence and everything that we do. Now, God has given us, think about God just for a moment, because sometimes we need to understand God. And obviously, through the cross, he has given us his whole heart. Say, God has given me, his whole heart. Okay. Now, by the grace of God and in the new creature, we are called to dedicate our whole heart to God. Okay. Now, that is obviously something that would be impossible if we were not a new creature in Christ and did not have the grace of God to have faith to do that. Okay. And so when the Holy Spirit convicts us that about withholding things from God, that's when we need to repent of that and ask God to give us grace to give him our whole heart. Okay. You know, our Christian life is about the heart. How many know that's what God is looking at? How many know that God is looking at the motives of one's heart? He's not looking at the outward appearance of a person or even how gifted they are. Okay. He's looking at someone with a broken heart, a broken and contrite heart, okay, that really wants to know, a heart, okay, that has humbled itself and really wants to know the reality of their relationship with God. And this is what Jesus said in John 4, 23 and 24. He said, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking. The Father is seeking. Okay, you know the scripture that talks about the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth. Satan's walking through the earth seeking whom he may devour, right? But God's eyes are looking throughout the earth looking for a heart that is perfect towards him. Okay, he's seeking that kind of a heart. That's what pleases God. Such to worship him. God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. A lot of worship goes on in this world. You know that, don't you? That when the Antichrist comes and takes the world over through the financial system, he wants people's worship, and he will get people's worship out of fear, not out of love. Out of fear of consequences of what will happen to them if they don't worship. Okay. And they live in that under that kind of pressure and that kind of fear because they don't know the liberation of redemption. There's going to be a lot of worship. There's going to be a lot of betrayal. A lot of people betraying one another. A lot of fear. Okay. Okay, so our heart. Okay, I was going to move behind the pulpit here for a minute. Our heart, listen, hear me out, okay, because I'm... must be set on serving God's highest purpose. Okay. There's really no confusion here about the truth. We must establish in our heart God's eternal value system. Our stewardship to temporal values must serve God's eternal purpose. Now, we're here today, okay, for that very reason. We've got an eternal purpose, and, you know, God is now in his timing for this fellowship, doing a new thing. But the new thing God has in mind is the ministry of reconciliation. I just see children, I see young people. Look at the attack today that our youth are under right now. It couldn't be greater. Our schools. I mean, they can bring drag queens in too. I mean, it's just absolutely insane what has been allowed. And the younger generation right now has been under more attack by Satan and more deception than it's ever been. And I'm going to tell you something. God's got a bigger plan than Satan's. I said he's got a bigger plan than Amen. Satan's. And Satan's plan is going to backfire, just like the Economic Forum backfired. And all these farmers rose up and said, we're not putting up with this bondage no more. We're not going to be slaves, especially to unelected officials. And of course, the elected ones are slaves to the ones that aren't elected. We have to see God in this world at work bigger than anything Satan could ever possibly do. The Holy Spirit is going to be poured out in different ways in this world that is going to completely override Satan's purposes, and there are multitudes of young people that are going to turn to Jesus Christ.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. I'm prophesying right now. We have a calling and we have a future. And that future is going to be a successful future in seeing lives changed. So, when we worship God in truth, it is out of a true heart, or in other words, a pure heart. Okay, I don't know about you, but I have a desire, I believe the Holy Spirit puts there, I want to have a pure heart. That doesn't mean I'm perfect, it just means that I realize the reality of God owning my heart and having His preeminence in it. Okay. So we've got a pure heart, pure motives in giving. I just been, you know, I was reminded by some people, you know, about giving. And you know what? I've always given, but I mean, I started planting. I was reminded, had a scripture from Gail about Isaac sowed in the land. I started sowing, and guess what? I don't know if I received 100-fold, but I saw that happen. My motive's right in it. I'm not giving to get and all that stuff. I'm not trying to use God. I think it's something that perhaps in our ignorance at times we thought we were relating to God, but we were really trying to use God for our selfish purpose. Is that fair enough to know that we've all probably been guilty in some way, shape, or form somewhere down the line? Now, for me, you know, I mean, I'm a little past that, but I don't want to use God. Okay. That's how it works in life, isn't it? Unsaved people, they use one another to get what they want, and then when they don't get what they want, they're gone. Is that how the fallen world operates. So there is a motive in relationship. A pure heart is vitally important because the Bible says that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. Here's the real key to seeing God. I'm talking about seeing God for yourself, a relationship with Him. I'm not talking about a bunch of clever knowledge. The pure in heart will see God. I don't know about you, but there's nothing more important to me than to see God for who He is. And that is the real secret of seeing God, is the heart, is a pure heart towards God. That's what the Bible says. So could I state the greatest desire of God's heart is our success in our relationship to Him. I just gave it to you. That's His greatest desire right there. He wants us to succeed in knowing Him. That's why I tried to tell you that, you know, I, like Paul, I would say, Lord, I want to know You and the power of Your resurrection. Okay. And in the fellowship of Your sufferings, being made conformable to Your death. I don't like the idea of the fellowship of sufferings, but You ain't going to escape it, so you might as well embrace it and get the growth that comes out of that, because you ain't going to get rid of it. You know, people will run from churches and they'll run from people and they'll run here and run there. If you're trying to protect your heart, you've given that, you haven't given that job over to God. You've kept it for yourself. All I can say is good luck. Now, we can trust Him with our whole heart. Okay, and I believe that God loves me enough, even though I don't understand everything that God takes me through. But that it has to, trust has to come down to an idea, a heart that knows that God has our best interest in mind. Okay. And of course, one of our scriptures that the Lord spoke to Tony and I on was Proverbs 3. He gave us that scripture both the same day. Trust in the Lord. It was Proverbs 3, 4, and 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Say all.
All.
See, now there's a real challenge, isn't it, when you are... God shakes your life up and everything seems to be falling apart. You know, the only thing that falls apart is you, yourself, that's not trusting God. You find out. You can say you trust God until the test comes. But you're to do it with all your heart. Is He worthy of all your heart? Is He worthy of our trust? Okay. I know you know God is true. I know you know God is real. I know that you know God is worthy. And I have to at times tell myself that when I don't understand. Okay. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. There's where a lot of problems result. In all our ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct our path. Is he worthy of the preeminence? Is he worthy of the total surrender of our life to him? To be able to acknowledge him in all of our ways, to be able to have the patience to wait at times on him until he directs our path. He orders our steps. Okay. I am thankful that he directs our path. And sometimes we see that we've related to God in it with an impure motive. Now here's a prayer to pray. Lord, convict me when I have an impure motive in my heart. Convict me of that, Lord. Deal with me in that area. I don't want to use you, Lord. Any more than he wants us for him to use us. A pure heart has no conflict of interest. It's one with God's will and purpose. See, and sometimes in life the reality of it is that we face conflict of interest. I know that when God called me into the ministry, I'll never forget the time that the day that happened, because it was like I struggled with a conflict of interest for 3 days in a row, and then I finally surrendered. But then even after that, well, I'll be honest with you, I was upset at God. Okay, that he would do such a thing to me. And I had to grow past that, and it was just selfish, self-centeredness is what it was. So the question is, have you given your whole heart to the one who can give a new one and make it pure, to reserve as his dwelling place? So let's look at 2 Chronicles. We're going to close here in a minute. But the kind of heart God is looking for, and we have to always ask the question, where's my heart? I think that's sometimes why when we take communion, we're called to examine ourselves. And when it says examine yourself, you're at that point, it's the Holy Spirit working with you to turn the light on and expose any darkness that might. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is, now one scripture says perfect or loyal, but that's what God's, if you want to know what God's, how God looks at things, there it is. If you want to know what pleases God, if you want to know what God is looking for, there it is. This is what God's like. Okay. See, and we can ask and submit it to the only one that has searched it and has fully known it. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So your spirit, your inner man, especially that new man, is what? He's the Lord's candle. searching all the inward parts of the belly, Proverbs 20:27. The candle. Now, you know, I was praying about the message, you know, that I told you that I was going to give, and I'm not going back on my word. It just didn't, he lifted it off me. And I don't even know what I was going to say now, but let's look at Proverbs or Jeremiah 17:10, if we could. We're almost done, and then we're going to talk about some important things. Jeremiah 17:10. The Lord, search the heart. Test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. Okay. That one wasn't quite the one I wanted, but that's okay. It makes a little sense there. And then 1 Samuel 16:7. Let's look at what that says. That's not the one. So it was 16:7, not 17. But that, yeah, I guess we do need a minstrel to play it. It's okay. It we don't have to go there. Well, we thought we got through on a perfect one, didn't we? But we just always mess up somewhere, don't we? So the heart is quite an interesting, there it is. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance. You know, everybody thought that it was Samuel's good-looking brother that, you know, God was going to choose. So I think maybe there's hope for you and me then. You know, Hollywood tries to worship, you know, it's the biggest mess in the world, but they're promoting a false image. That's Hollywood. It's a false image, and all those people, you know, are in sin like anybody else. It's crazy, isn't it? What people worship when they don't have God, they worship people as idols. And they make superstars out of those people. Well, with a lot of them, if they want to end up where those people ended up, then more power to you. But so the heart is designed in a way that it can grow any type of seed, and that's why the Bible says you've heard of a root of bitterness, or the scripture rooted and grounded in love. It's up to you which one you would want to let into your heart. But I want to be rooted and I want to be grounded in the reality of His love. Okay. I don't understand His love fully, but I know that that's what God's heart is. Okay. And so you're the doorkeeper. So thank you for your undivided attention.